Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monster Hour. I'm Quinn, your GM. With me today are Kyle.
Hello, I'm Kyle. I play Duncan's all over the zeitgeist.
Tio.
Howdy ho, hi, hello. I am a Tio. I play Claire Claremont, the Forgotten Vessel.
And Hannah.
Hello, I'm Hannah. I am coming to you from slightly to the left of where I usually am because I have a new desk.
That's exactly like, what city? From Toronto.
Slightly different. You know, the vibes are a little bit different because I'm now like 2 feet away from the window. As opposed to 2 feet close.
We can tell. We can all hear it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Anyway, and I play Max the Paradox. The vibes are bad. It's so bad since I moved. Or are they better?
I think the vibes are better than ever before.
Listeners, you let us know.
Let us know about the vibes.
Yep.
I'm glad you addressed it, though, because the vibes were clearly different. And, you know, we like to be transparent with our audience about what has changed.
Our listeners would be wondering if you didn't say anything.
Exactly.
We open outside of City Hall, where you all spent the previous episode figuring out your next steps while investigating the growing forest of temporally unstable trees and exchanging tense words with an increasingly botanical walker. A more pressing matter faces you now, however. The faint hint of ozone is already fading from your nostrils as an anachronistic metallic screech cuts through the air. From almost 40 feet up, a misshapen golden appendage materializes from thin air, shaking the ground beneath you as it touches down. It's followed by another and another and far too many more as the behemoth frame of the Clunkanax manifests, bearing atop its bust the Cerberian gilded likeness of the three of you. It roars once again and begins lumbering towards City Hall. What do you do?
I scream.
I hit the nearest, it's not a fire alarm, but it's like a town alarm.
The somewhere first alert system.
The citizen alert.
I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that Duncan, as a radio host, would have like a personal one.
I think there's maybe a moment where two Duncans both go to a switch together, but the switches kind of work like, you know, when two light switches go to the same light. And it turns on and then it turns off. And then it turns on and then off again as they both kind of fiddle the switch before syncing up.
Incredible. And the klaxons begin to sound throughout somewhere.
Quinn?
Yes.
I have a question. Is this the same Clunkanax that we defeated? And by that, I mean, looking at it, does it look the same? Or is this like, Quinn, is this an alternate universe Clunkanax where it's like the Clunkanix? And so like it's a slightly different shade of metal? Or, and follow-up question to that, if it is, quote-unquote, our Clunkanax, is there one of its eyes got poked out when I like, with my spear before I fell and joop through the parking garage? Or is it like pre-attacking Clunkanax? Which Clunkanax is this, Quinn?
Does it have just one parenthesis, the numeral one Duncan?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What is its parenthetical notation?
Or is it the Clunkin snacks?
Max, give me a roll to assess
the reality. Clunkin, unkin axe. All right, what am I rolling?
Assess reality, plus wits.
Assess reality. Okay, plus wits. All right. that's a seven.
Hold one.
None of these are which Clunkanax is this? Quinn.
I'm sorry.
Game design.
I know. It's such a flawed system.
It truly is. Let's see. What here is not what it appears to be?
Mm-hmm. Max, I think you've spent the most time, perhaps, of anyone around the Clunkanax.
Mm-hmm.
You got up close with it a couple of times, so you know it fairly well. It is an unspeakable eldritch abomination of misshapen mm-hmm. appendages and oversized likenesses of the three of you. So there's a little bit of uncertainty here, but mm-hmm. you are 99% sure that this is, you know, quote unquote, your Clunkanax.
Okay.
And it does not appear to have suffered any visible damage. Its eye is intact. As best as you can tell, mm-hmm. it is the Clunkanax as it was approaching City Hall before it got into the cataclysmic kaiju fight with Giant Jeremy Dunlap.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same size that it was when we dispatched it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or very close.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, it's a little baby and now. Oh.
No, it's big. It's like 50 feet tall.
Is anything flying towards it monetarily wise, because like I got some pogs in my satchel and I'm assuming Claire probably has some Claire coins and Duncan's. I assume at least some of you have something valuable.
Yeah, Duncan has one big rare crystal.
Of course he is.
Any currency or items of recognized value that you have on your person are being pulled towards it. I don't think they're being like rent from your hands or your pockets, but like there's a definite tug.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, Duncan is really trying to hold on to his set of crystals.
Yeah.
I mean, as she should.
Oh, no.
I point to it and I go, that's our clunky. I can tell because I looked at it.
So the other Duncans prepare with their boxing briefcase, Duncan's big bottle of water. And I guess Hyunkin just has claws.
Hyunkin has a cartoon mallet.
He did have a cartoon mallet. It looks cartoon, Roger Rabbit style when it comes out.
Yes. It's like red and yellow and it looks like it's made of plastic, although it is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do a thing.
Please.
I would like to mark 3 Vesage to summon the Entropic Terror to my body once more.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
The return.
Game.
I believe it's time.
What does this look like?
Claire sees the Clunkinax and sees that Max has started screaming and goes, if this isn't endgame territory, I don't know what is. And then puts her hair up in a very cute French braid, which she does very quickly because she has a special tool for that.
And what is it called?
The Frenchie. It looks like a standard scrunchie, but when you touch it, all of a sudden it uncurls and it's actually a magical being that has a face.
A little dog?
And has a little has a French accent and a little mustache, and it crawls into your hair and creates a French braid for you and then uses itself to wrap around to tie it off.
Okay.
Did you say it becomes a sentient being?
Yes. Yeah, it's the Frenchie.
Oh, I see the hair. Is it crazy?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly
and
right.
And then it loses sentience when it's done?
No. It's still alive. It's just holding it all together. That's its purpose.
Talk to you.
No.
It's small, so
it really, just does its job.
It should really be, ha ha, I see the hair.
Yes, exactly.
And then as you're doing things, it's like, oh, we don't do it that way.
Yeah, it just lives in there. It's, you know, it loves chewing through hair to create French braids. It likes what it does. Mm-hmm. And when you're ready to, like, not have a French braid anymore, you just tap it on the head like you're, like, patting a dog on the head. Mm-hmm. And it releases, then goes into a dormant state until you use it again.
Oh, no. Le hairs, les chevaux, ce n'est pas bien. Oh, mon Dieu.
Exactly.
And it loves to gossip about people you meet.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It keeps track of all the gossip for you. You can't turn that off. That's just how it is.
Did you see his cufflinks? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I would like to apologize to any of our French listeners in any of the many countries that speak French. The basis for my accent is the chef in The Little Mermaid.
That's exactly what I thought. Sorry, I'm very excited.
I am
about
also
that.
Aware that he is not French. He is from Belgium.
Yes.
Poirot with David Suchet. That was on PBS for many years. So my apologies. Désolé.
I don't apologize to our French audience. I have some French lineage in my family, so I feel fine saying this. But the French have plenty of good things going for them. They can handle this.
Okay, so we've reached step one in the return of Rudy.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So that
happens.
And
then it gets bad.
Yes. Now that Claire's hair is out of the way, mm-hmm. I think she does a short TikTok dance. And at the end of the TikTok dance, when she like slams her foot on the ground to end the dance, that's when the return happens. Now, I don't know what the logistics are of like, am I the same size and look the same? I'm just now super powerful. Or can I actually like grow in size as part of this? I have no idea. I leave that to you, Quinn.
When we've talked about your possession previously, it's been very much your corporeal shape, but with a lot of supernatural abilities and powers. So I'm inclined towards that, but it's open.
Yeah, I think, you know what, you're right. I don't think that she grows in size. I think the thing we've said in the past, and maybe there's just like an added oomph to it with the return, is like her eyes go full black, the blackest you've ever seen. Like you're staring into the abyss. I think it's like a souped up version of that where her eyes go black and maybe even her lips turn black, and it's almost like seeping out. The capillaries around her mouth and her eyes are slowly turning black as they seep out.
Around you, as this happens, a forest of pine trees bursts forward in like a 25-foot radius all around you. It's just an instantaneous Ooh. Forest. You also hear vaguely from all around you the sound of an a cappella choir saying, ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba.
Ba-do-ba?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Not quite.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm Rudy now.
Duncan, you hear a ping in your pocket.
Yeah, I open my pocket as the other Duncans see what's happening. What the?
Yuck!
The Nintendo DS, the loading screen now says 99% loaded. Get ready.
For what? I get ready.
That's it. There's no other message. And Claire, you hear a voice say, "Ah, it's good to be back."
Ah, don't I know it. And then I think Claire lets out a blood-curdling scream like a banshee.
I'm frightened.
As am I. I am also.
So there are trees in front of me, in between me and the Clunkinax, correct?
Yeah, they have erupted outwards.
Perfect. What are trees if not a great vehicle for getting up to the top of the Clunkinax? Claire whips her rending nails out, full force runs up to the tree closest to the Clunkinax, and literally runs up it. Like if you've ever seen a bear run up a tree and gone, that seems implausible. That is what Claire would like to do. And if you want me to roll, I mean, I'll roll, Quinn, but we both know what's going to happen.
This isn't.
No, I don't think you need to roll for this.
Yeah. Yes.
That seems implausible.
As Claire is moving, she's leaving a trail of black ichor. It's like halfway between ichor and smoke. Yes. The combination seems almost impossible, but it's like a combination of liquid and gas.
Awesome.
Like liquid nitrogen kind of, a dry ice kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, this is accurate. And it smells disturbing. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, you know something's wrong. Like, you're like, that's going to be dangerous if I touch it. That's how I feel about, like, the trail that's being left here.
Mm-hmm. Spicy.
Yeah, so it was spicy in a bad way. So Claire gets up the tree, bear style, gets to the top, and leaps towards the Clunkinax. She has her nails out, and she wants to try to dive headfirst into the eye of the Clunkinax.
Like a terrifying Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, exactly like a terrifying Diving Scrooge into your money McDuck. Pit. Absolutely.
Which eye?
Which eye? Excellent, important question. Definitely the right eye.
Whose but, right eye?
Yeah,
there's six eyes.
There's three heads. Oh. Is it yours?
Yeah, let's make it meta. It's into Claire's right eye.
Phew. Great.
I'm afraid of like voodoo effect where you dive into the eye and then Duncan goes blind.
Oh, God.
That didn't happen last time.
That's true.
That's true. Well, I was busy with the economy anyways.
True. Before we get too deep into this, Claire, remind me your fractures, because these get a lot worse when you conjure the return.
Yes. So I have vertigo, which appears when I face fear. I am cynical when I'm assessing reality, and I am regretful when I save my own skin.
Did you get rid of Rudy FOMO?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I got rid of Rudy FOMO. That was because I double leveled up and I did overcome a fracture and gain the following move.
So you wouldn't be one fracture away from
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay.
I planned ahead.
Doom, doom, doom.
Claire, give me a roll to fight for your life.
Yeah. Okay. That's a sweet, nice 10, y'all.
Ooh. Nice.
Nice. On a 7 to 9, you and your enemy inflict harm on each other as established. On a 10 plus, you get to choose an extra effect.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I'm going to say force them where I want them. And what I mean by that is I want to try to force the Clunkinax to fall onto the trees.
Oh, okay.
A little skewering action.
What does that look like?
Claire does her little swan dive into the eye. the sheer force of her doing that throws the Clunkanucks off balance. Like, they lift their leg. They're like, whoa. It's like if you've ever, like, been rollerblading and a gnat flies into your eye and you're just like, oh my God, what is happening to me right now? It's that. And I think it starts flailing uncontrollably. And then Claire does a karate kick to, like, push it into the trees with the hope that big thing meets big pointy thing equals bad.
Yeah. The Clunkanacks, it has dozens, if not hundreds, of appendages, but this maneuver of yours does seem to catch it off balance as it looses another metallic screech and off kilter stumbles and then falls into this newly established grove. The burgeoning pine trees piercing it in multiple locations and sending fountains of gold doubloons and other currency cascading all over the lawn of City Hall.
Nice. Is it shish kebabbed? Is it stuck?
Oh yeah, it's skewered in a dozen locations.
Yes.
Dang.
Its structural integrity is weak at this point, and numerous piles of currency are slowly forming into mini clunks, as you may recall happened last time.
Yeah.
Claire, I think the harm you're going to suffer here, I think, is the fall damage, really, because you caught the Clunkanacks fairly off guard. But I do think you're going to take, because falling from a decent height is not great. I do think you're going to take 2 harm.
Okay. Now, is that 2 harm counting my 2 harm absorption that I have?
No.
So then I take no harm.
Correct.
What's up?
As you plummet to the ground, you are encased in this black ichor, and you leave a small crater, but you are unharmed, cocooned in this ichor.
I love it. Can I say that when I get up, the next visual that people see of Claire, suddenly the ends of my clothing start to have that same black, like it's almost like it's ink that is slowly absorbing me.
Absolutely.
I would like to plan ahead that when I do drop out of the scene, it's because I've been fully covered in the black ichor and I disappear.
Yeah. Max and Duncan's, as this happens, yep. The Clunkanacks has moved a little bit closer to City Hall. And as it's done so, you can see on the lawn the vague outline of dozens of code compliance officers just outside the steps. They're flickering and insubstantial, like they're walking a fine line between existence and nothingness.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Why are we not affected by this time stuff yet?
That's a great question.
I think Hyunkin may go and take to... He got a mallet, seems effective against piles of money coins. And so while it's pinned and rather incapacitated, Hyunkin may go start whacking away at little guys. But Duncan wants to look up to the sky and is a little nervous that this is another problem of a sudden injection of a big gold thing into the somewhere economy. Seems disruptive. And it was pretty wild the last time that sort of thing happened.
And indeed, in the sky, you do see storm clouds brewing.
I want to try and chill that out using my economic accounting knowledge that I got from reading a book one time. I'm a very fast learner.
Okay. How are you doing this?
Cool off.
You're just shouting cool off to the sky?
Magically. I don't have any slips to isolate money anymore, but maybe if you just bury gold, it's taken out of the system.
I think if you want to try to placate the economy, you had some success in doing this. Well, mixed results. Last go around, you were able to do so, but you did need some bureaucratic instruments, some of the ledgers and accounting sheets from the economists.
Yeah, I think this is maybe a good time to try to bring the community back into this. They've kind of been on their back heels for a while, but this is something they know about. They know they're well drilled in how to handle finances. So I think the Duncans would like to rally the community to our aid, and I will use Cult of Personality to do this.
Okay. How are you getting the word out or attracting people to your cause?
I'll go and use the radio, which is maybe by some of these alarms, there's little phone lines that can call in trouble and have Sebastian patch me through.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and tell me what your Cult of Personality looks like?
Yeah, so we'll get some assistance here from multiple Duncans. So maybe it's kind of like a taking turns thing. Deacon's not really in the scene right now, but Duncan, Hyunkin, and Duncan can all kind of like swap sentences as they do a call out to the community. Duncan trying to rally people to aid, Duncan knowing the best way to kind of make money disappear, and Hyunkin covering the details and the statistics of how much money needs to be disappeared. The text on Cult of Personality is the magnetism of your zeitgeist is powerful enough to temporarily pull in those around you. When you want to rally a group, you can mark two harmony to automatically succeed as if you rolled a 10+. When you do this, you automatically get all four options instead of picking just three. You can also see through the group's eyes for the duration of the activity. I think what this Cult of Personality with the community looks like now is not so much like, I don't think Duncan can now see through Jeremy's eyes per se, but there are a lot more Duncans out there, as we've established. Mm-hmm. Dozens and dozens of Duncans. So my zeitgeist has extended to now include those Duncans for a little bit.
Amazing. Okay. You've temporarily pushed the walls of your hive mind and are now in control of, do we want to say all the Duncans? Let's say a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's less so in control of. They're very amenable to my ask, because I'm asking myself here.
Yes, true.
But it says you could see through the group's eyes for the duration, so I have like heightened senses through all the other Duncans.
Amazing. So you have rallied the Duncans, truly the Duncans, all over.
The community of Duncans.
And from all around City Hall, they begin pouring in with their various multiversal weapons to start fighting the mini clunks.
Yeah.
And are doing so with great effectiveness.
I get all four options, which is they will not back down in the face of resistance. They call upon additional resources. They will do exactly as I ask, and I won't owe them a debt in return.
Be weird if you owed yourself a debt.
I mean,
well,
kind of.
It's like when you promise that you're going to like go to bed early.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm gonna go to bed early now, and I'll do the dishes in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And then
in the morning, you're like, ah, yep. I wish I didn't have this debt.
Yep. True.
That's true.
Okay. The crowd of Duncans begin pouring in. And much like the code compliance officers in the first go around, they are engaged in combat with the swarm of mini clunks.
Deacon's really chuffed about all this. He's not there, but like he's clued into what's going on. He's just keeping constant vigil as good Duncan. But he sees what's happening and he's like, yes, yes, yes. Ow.
That was just Kyle. That was not.
That's Deacon too.
Yes. It's both. Okay, it's
he got excited and tripped.
So do they need me? Like, are the Duncans, are they, do you guys need me? Do you need help?
I'll be at the cabana.
Well, I thought maybe it might be useful for me to go, and not just because I want to go say hi to Deacon, but if there's weird time stuff going on, it might be useful. I don't know. It might be useful to go check on time.
Well, I will say Clunkinax Prime is not dead. While the Duncans are doing well in combat with the mini clunks, it's certainly not an overwhelming advantage.
Okay. Quinn, I don't think we ever fully explored what the Clunkinax's bottom half looks like. And I don't mean, I just mean the legs. That's when I say the bottom half, I want to be very clear. This is not monster fucker territory. This is.
Thanks for clarifying. I wasn't going there, but.
What is it walking on?
Yeah, so picture a nightmarish combination of like a jellyfish, a spider, and a centipede.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather not, actually.
That kind of torpedoes my plan because I was going to go up and slash its Achilles tendon. But if it's got like 50 legs, that really doesn't do a whole lot. So, okay.
It's also pinned at the moment, at least.
Yeah.
Not pinned, more like skewered.
Gotcha. So it could lift itself up and off the tree.
Yeah, which it is working on doing, but it is taking some time.
Okay.
At the moment, it's a little bit stuck.
Yeah.
All right. It is stuck to the tree. I cannot slash an Achilles tendon because, frankly, it has too many.
And where even is it?
It would also be very hard to find an Achilles on this thing.
Okay. Well, either I'm going to attack its eyes or I'm going to attack the back of its neck. But I need to get higher up. So I think I need to climb the tree that it's stuck to.
Well, it has fallen, so its heads are on the ground.
Oh, okay. I want to try and attack the back of its neck.
This can be a straight fight for your life roll. I don't think it needs to be a face fear first.
Well, that's a 6.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Not ideal.
Nope.
Max, you are in the process of climbing up. Mm-hmm. And the Clunkanax, its body is very fungible. You know, it's constantly reshaping as it loses mass. And so it shifts as it reforms around one of the trees. And this sends you careening off balance into your own gilded mouth as the Clunkanax swallows you.
Ew. Quinn.
You're going to take one harm and you are now trapped inside a golden cavern of your own mouth.
At zero harm because I am timeless, but I am still stuck inside myself, which, boy, Freud would have a lot of things to say about this.
Oh, yeah.
The Clunkanats has executed a merger.
And Max, as you get your bearings, the gold doubloon molars of your own mouth begin to churn, trying to grind you up.
Well, first of all, we're putting the Max in Clunkanax, literally.
Incredible.
And number two, I'm going to stick my sword in the roof of its mouth.
Max, give me a roll to fight for your life again.
No, it's a 4.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Actually, Quinn, can I use Rewind?
Oh, you? Yes, you may.
All right.
The whole world's been using Rewind.
Okay, Rewind. You can shift back to a previous space that you've occupied on this timeline, allowing you to instantly appear any place you've been before. When you do so, mark one anomaly and roll plus chaos. 10 plus, you arrive no problem. 7 to 9, your timeline is off. Either you land somewhere else on your timeline or arrive later than you expected on a miss. You succeed as if you rolled a 10 plus, but the GM holds one. They can spend their hold at any point to shift you somewhere else on your timeline. So I'm going to mark.
Yeah,
dang.
Before you do this, you did miss. So there is still going to be a hard move here, which is you do get caught, not badly, but you do get caught in some grinding teeth and you're going to take 2 harm.
Okay, so that's 1 harm for me. Ouch, 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 ouch. Mm-hmm. Again, Freud's going to have a lot to say about this.
Rewind to go chat with Freud.
Yeah.
Okay, that is 7, 8, 9, 10. That is a 10. Exactly.
On a 10 plus, you arrive there, no problem. Where are you rewinding to?
I am rewinding to right before I tried to crawl up onto my own head.
Great. Okay. What does your rewind look like? Or does it look like anything? Or do you just like blip?
It's like a popping in and out. So like, and I cannot do this sound effect. I've tried, but it's the. Yep.
Yeah,
and then.
There we go.
Then I appear. Yes.
Yep.
It's real, real easy peasy.
Yeah. So you disappear and reappear outside of the Clunkamax mouth.
Yep. Okay. Not going to do that. Really didn't like getting chewed on. That was real ouchy. How are the Legions of Dunk doing?
They all give you simultaneous thumbs up.
Maybe I can help them without crawling into my own mouth.
Yeah. Like 50 Dunkins. Give you a thumbs up simultaneously mid-fight, and then 3 of them get taken out.
Oh, no, I'm sorry I asked.
Not killed, just incapacitated.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Max, let him cook.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all right.
The Dunkins are performing well. I would say that they're not preventing all mini-clunks from re-amalgamating, but they are preventing probably more than half.
Okay, I'll go over and help them prevent reconstituting.
We know what you mean.
Let's jump back to Claire.
Hello.
The Clunkanax Prime is pushing itself off of these trees that it is impaled on and reforming. What do you do?
I think Claire takes a page out of the Duncan playbook, so to speak, about the little whack-a-mole-esque nature of this, goes around with her rending nails, and is going to chop off every appendage that is trying to do this.
We're rolling it a lot, but it's got to be a fight for your life.
You gave us something to fight, and you're surprised that we're fighting it?
No, it's true. I like to mix up the moves, but that's
I haven't rolled fight for your life once yet.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Quick question before I do that. Have the trees been injured by the Clunkanax falling, getting skewered on them? Presumably there's been some tree damage, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh.
Okay, well, then let's go for broke. Claire's not going to try to do it with her rending nails. That's going to take forever. I think Claire chops a bunch of branches off and starts spear throwing them. The more the merrier. Like, that's faster.
Give me a roll to fight for your life.
All right. That's a 9.
Hey. On a 7-9, you inflict harm on one another as established. No extra effect this time, so you unleash this barrage of tree shard spears at the Clunkinax and its many appendages. Not quite at the speed of a Gatling gun, but certainly far faster than we have ever witnessed Claire engage in combat. Many of these appendages lash out towards you as the Clunkinax is seeking to regain its footing. And they find purchase, but they sure don't do any damage as they inflict two harm on you. But whenever these tentacles and claws and other limbs would strike you, your skin is covered instantly in this black ichor. And as the impact hits, it once again sublimates into this charcoal smoke.
Can I also say that as that's happening, Claire starts laughing, and the laugh does not sound like it's coming from Claire. And when she opens her mouth to laugh, black moths fly out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
And you hear the whisper in the back of your head, Claire, say, "This is great, Claire. Well done." Now, finish this up and let's get back to business.
Oh, boy.
It's also the second season that one of our characters has just been chucking tree trunks.
That's
something.
True.
It's always interesting, the weird themes that emerge.
Weird themes.
Yeah.
Trees.
Claire, as part of this, the Clunkinax is unable to lift itself up. Too many of its appendages are either fighting you or being destroyed by you.
Yeah. Okay.
And is it actually like becoming weaker, or is it just stuck in place? Like, am I doing anything to inflict like real damage, or is this more just prolonging its stay on the ground kind of thing?
Not as much as your super swan dive strike, but it does seem to be inflicting some harm.
All right. What do you all think? Do you want me to keep hammering away at the Clunkinax with you, or can Claire move on to other business?
Whatever Claire wants to do.
Yeah. I mean, if Rudy's back, this is going to be the best use of him before you turn into the bad guy.
Claire, you feel a strong urge to put this thing in the ground.
Okay. The return itself does not provide me any kind of like superhuman strength. I have like more power in my attack, but I'm not stronger in any way. Is there a way for me to try to do something slightly magical?
Tell me what you want to do. So generally,
okay.
You succeed on any roll to embrace chaos. Typically, embracing chaos requires an existing source of entropic power, but you could potentially tap into something. I mean, the Clunkinax has entropic power imbued into it. There's also the telltale signs of a recession sweeping down from the economic clouds above. So There's a lot of entropy happening in your vicinity right now. So, and a lot of trees, yes.
Yeah. Claire would like to, like, with one hand, gesture upward, raise her hand, and with it have a bunch of coins lift up, form into a ginormous hammer like you have at the arcade. And that ginormous hammer smash the Clunkinax into the ground and then dissipate into the ground with the Clunkinax.
Claire, I think what happens is this emotion or this drive, this desire is bubbling up within you. And as it does, you've developed a bit of like a dark film over your eyes. It almost looks like looking through sunglasses. But as it's manifesting, you also are beginning to see things in different ways. And I think as you glance up overhead, you are seeing the numbers of the economic storm above. Somehow you know how to manipulate the economic forces around you, which would include some control over currency.
Yes.
So this would be an embrace chaos roll, but under the return, you automatically succeed on all rolls to embrace chaos. So choose two.
I guess I have a hard time knowing which of these to choose for that to be the end goal.
Yeah, it's a little tricky here because we're engaging with multiple entropic sources here. I think wielding, because what you're doing is you're wielding the forces of the economy in essence.
Yeah.
So wielding and fanning the effect, I think would fit best narratively for what you're looking at here.
So those two in combination?
Yeah.
Or just one of the, okay, yeah. Then I'll do that. I'll consider those my two.
So a funnel cloud descends downward from the storm above and siphons up a bunch of partially and unformed mini clunks. And as Claire raises up a fist, the gold doubloons and valuables and currency mimic her gesture. And as she slams it slams down on top of what remains of the Clunkinax, and most of its remaining body mass is driven into the ground.
Hey!
Woo. All right.
Excellent work, Claire. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself. I think I can tell that you have too. But in doing this, you're defending City Hall. Again, these bureaucrats, they don't care about you, Claire. Not the way I do, certainly. It's time that they stop getting in our way. I need you to go to the beach and get rid of their last barrier. Claire, I am calling on your entropic soul move. The fractures that you gain are fissures from which the vestiges of entropic horror seep through. The ceaseless whispers, the GM will ask you to do dangerous or hurtful things in line with the darker aspects of your fractures. This is your cynicism.
Yes. Now remind me what happens if I ignore his call.
Mark one vestige.
Okay, so I'm at 3 right now, but I have quite a few left. I am going to ignore his call. I have marked, so
at
I'm at
beach.
4.
So the chill, beach. Sunny.
Between Max and the Duncans, who is closest to me right now?
Statistically, okay. Probably a Duncan.
Yeah, probably a Duncan.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I turn to the closest Duncan, and I do like a come hither with my nail. Do they come?
Yeah. This one is Clown Duncan. It's called Funkin.
Clownkin?
Funkin.
Funkin?
Okay.
Family Funkin.
Family Funkin.
No. Oh.
He does not have a family. He participates in family fun events.
He just walks over and goes, hey, yeah, what's going on? Mighty big fight you have going on here.
The beach. Tell the others and tell City Hall to defend the beach. I have to go take care of something. And then Claire is going to walk to the well.
The Duncans that I controlled know of this because they're seeing through the Family Funkin's eyes.
It is implied that the Duncans will tell Max as well.
Yeah.
I think that's...
News travels quickly amongst the Duncans. Yeah.
The Duncans are the internet. They're just like a physical form.
Yeah, we're now a competitor to Sploot.
Oh, God.
But we're very verbose about it.
Claire begins to walk... trudge really away, dripping this black ichor from her eyes and her pores seemingly everywhere. And as it drips off of her, it plops, and then like liquid hitting something that's extremely hot, it vaporizes into this charcoal gray smoke. Max and the Duncans, as she walks away, around you, the mini clunks and the trees, which are brushed with gold flakes, begin to flicker a little bit, and then they all disappear.
Huh.
All the trees that Claire summoned from her grove, as well as all vestiges of the Clunkinax, they flicker and then are gone, as are the battalions of code compliance officers, which are at the edge of your vision outside of City Hall.
All the Duncans are still here?
All the Duncans are still here.
Duncan Oliver is concerned about Claire and wants to try to, like, jog up at a somewhat safe distance. Claire, are you...
Yes.
Claire, are you okay?
Duncan?
Yeah.
The moment my hair is no longer in this braid.
I am holding on for dear life here.
Run away. It will no longer be me. Do you understand?
Okay, you need safe distance? Is that what the plan is here?
Bring him with you. He can be helpful.
Yes, I need safe distance.
Mark one vestige.
Regretful. Oh, damn, hold on. Okay. And that is all I say, and I keep walking to the well. I have one thing I want to do at the well. That's all I want to do before I pass out.
The Duncans clear a path. They part like a Duncan sea.
And Claire solemnly walks through the sea of Duncans, away from City Hall. Hey folks, Quinn here. Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 45 of Monster Hour Absurdia. We are excited to be back with y'all after our brief hiatus, and we appreciate you bearing with us. I hope that you're enjoying Tio absolutely cranking the drama to 11 as we return to our regular programming. Speaking of coming back with a vengeance, I am channeling the ghost of Quinsmas Past to remind everyone that word of mouth is the best way to help spread the word about the show. You can do that by leaving a rating and review. You can do that by tapping it out on your phone and sending it into the internet. You can do that by talking to someone IRL. You can do that by painting it on your face. Why would you do that? I don't know. Maybe you're into that sort of thing. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to make a podcast that people listen to because you told them about it. Good job, you. A special shout out this week to the newest members of WSOM's Eternal Pledge Drive, Theo and Alex Corbin. A huge thank you to all our patrons for helping make this show possible and bring you awesome bonus content. Coming up this month, we have my ARC 5 GM notes, as well as a new off-hours one-shot that I think you'll find to be a real treat for your palate. As always, you can find all of that and much more at patreon.com/monsterhour or via the link in the show notes. That's all we have for you this week, dear listeners. Tune in April 30th for the next broadcast of WSOM, Radio Somewhere. Claire, we follow you walking away from City Hall, dripping with black ichor. Where are you headed?
Claire is going to the well, and she specifically has not voiced out loud what she plans to do at the well. She's trying as hard as possible to avoid saying it or thinking it because she does not want Rudy to know.
I mean, Rudy is in your head. Rudy knows.
Yes, but there's, look, you can know and not know things at the same time. You can tell yourself a lie hard enough that you believe it if you really, really want. So
this feels like deja vu.
We've had this conversation before.
Yes.
Claire, your feet feel heavy, like you're wearing boots of lead as you trudge down Main Street towards the Eternal Forest. Somewhere as you walk through it is being rapidly overtaken by the trees. The lumberjack units of City Hall are overmatched and ineffective as you pass by a group that cuts down a massive pine tree and then it flickers and is back up in moments. And the officers are left scratching their heads, puzzling over what to do next. But you continue onward. And with each step, you hear Rudy whispering in the back of your head saying, Claire, it doesn't have to be like this. Claire, I thought we learned from last time. Claire, why are you doing this to me? Claire. Can't we just talk about this? Claire. 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 Claire.
Claire ignores and keeps going until she reaches the well.
It is growing difficult to tell where the Eternal Forest truly begins and ends at this point, especially as you get closer to it. But eventually the buildings drop away and the trees become more dense. As they do, you could swear they're swaying, they're moving, their boughs beckoning you forward and leaning in to whisper with the wind in their leaves rustling, saying, Claire, Claire, Claire.
Claire gives no response.
Don't you want it to be different this time, Claire? Don't you regret how it all went down last time?
Regret assumes that I had any sense of control. I think we both know that isn't true. What I regret is listening to everyone else around me telling me the way it must be. So let me say this to you, Rudy. It doesn't have to be this way. Rudy. 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 We can find a common ground. And then Claire literally like starts humming the like, doo doo doo. Claire is not available right now song.
I will not make you mark one vestige for this one because you made a compelling counterargument.
Thank you.
And after what feels like an eternity of walking listlessly through the forest, you arrive at the well. Claire, tell me about the well.
Well,
actually. No.
Well,
actually,
oh gosh. The well, I'd always kind of pictured it as a pretty old-time fairy tale-esque well where it's stone that has a bunch of ivy growing over it. So you almost don't recognize that it's man-made. It almost looks like it's of the forest at this point. Mm-hmm. And if you were to peer down, it's small and narrow. It almost feels like its purpose might not be to pull up water because that seems like it would be an inefficient size for a big bucket of water, but a perfect size for throwing humans. And I think it's just like slightly taller than a normal well. It gives a little bit of that like uncanny valley where you're like, something doesn't feel right. To like lean down into it, you would kind of almost have to grapple on top of it a little bit. So again, just kind of makes it seem like, why? Why is this here? What is it for? I think that's kind of what the well looks like. I would like to imagine that, oddly enough, even though there is vines and growth around the well, the ground immediately around the well is barren. So the stuff growing on the well itself, it's almost like it's growing from inside and coming out rather than ground cover that has grown over the well, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the well gives Claire really nice feelings. Claire has good and bad memories at the well, but it's familiar. It gives you that sense of familiarity of, I know where I am.
You feel a strength flowing through your body and you look down to clench your hands and see your rending nails. And you see your veins are bulging from your skin, flowing with this black ichor.
Perfect. I would like to pull out a little lighter. It's not a Claire product. Claire does not endorse vaping or smoking of any kind.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
This is surprising. A lighter you've had since your time at the butcher.
Yes. No, this is a lighter for flambé at the butcher. This is a yeah. light. No, this is a lighter.
Choice cuts and yeah. flambé. Melvin's butcher.
Yeah. 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 And
you need anything cut in half or lit on fire? That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Was Melvin really a butcher? Question. Questions for a later date. Please continue. Sorry.
Yes. Sometimes you cut things in half by literally melting them in half. You know, that's sometimes the only way to do it.
He's just a scout that never grew up.
Yeah. And I also think it's just really important to note that this isn't a moral position of Claire's on the no vaping smoking. It's a vanity position because it does age your skin prematurely, folks.
Now it makes more sense.
Yeah. Claire is all about the vanity, zero on the morality side. I mean, she also has no scientific knowledge. So as far as she's concerned, smoking is healthy for you. It just doesn't make your skin look radiant. And so, yeah. But anyway. She pulls out her flambé torch and lights the foliage around the well that seems to be coming out of the well on fire. And then to make the process faster / take, she's going to take a rending nail, slice her own arm open, drip some of that ichor blood all over it, and use Rudy's own power to burn away all of the foliage around the well. And then she's going to destroy the well before she passes out. She wants the well gone.
Wow.
Okay.
Can't use the well against me if there's no well, Rudy.
Boy, this is a lot. Let's see here. Claire, this would be a embrace chaos roll, but you are still under the effect of the return and still in control, so you succeed automatically. Choose two.
You know, you tell me, but I feel like this is you subvert this power to achieve your ends.
It can be
that. Seems a little bit.
I think it's also quell.
Yeah, yeah.
You quell this power's effect.
Yes, I'm thinking particularly of using the Rudy ichor to speed up the, or to, you know,
yeah.
to whatever effect that does or doesn't have. But yeah, I think quell and subvert this power are probably.
Yeah, well, the entropic power you're contending with here is the well itself.
Oh, okay. Let's do quell powers, and would using just the quell powers effect be enough for what I'm trying to do? Can I use the other hold on something else, or do I need to use both to kind of achieve my goals here?
You know, that's an interesting question. I've never contemplated doubling up on one of these, but narratively, it feels like it makes sense. Like, if you really want to try to destroy the well in your empowered state, I think a double quell makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I double quell.
What does it look like when you destroy the well?
When Claire lights the foliage on fire, at first, the vines, they look like they're on fire, but the fire is like a radiant purple hue. It doesn't look like a natural fire, and it doesn't seem to be actually burning anything away. It's just on fire. And when she drops the ichor onto it, suddenly it's almost like it doesn't even burn away. It melts away, like it disappears from the timeline almost. And as it's like creeping into the well, once it makes it into the well and Claire starts to break apart the stones, every stone that she like pulls off of the well and throws into the well, you see the bottom of the well crumble a little. It's almost like it's like a Jenga tower. And as soon as some pieces are no longer holding it together, the whole thing is starting to crumble because it needs the other pieces to stay upright. I almost want to say that like the stones themselves look like they get worse for wear and have cracks coming into them as other stones get lifted out and thrown into the well and consumed by this fire.
Absolutely. And brick by brick, you dismantle the well until it collapses in on itself, and like a wound that is healing rapidly over, the earth puckers until what's left is just a barren patch of ground.
That sounds right.
As part of this, Claire, I also need you to make a goad roll.
Who entropy. Am I goading?
Who could you possibly be goading?
Okay, what do I do for a goad roll? I haven't done one of these in a very long time.
You have a move that lets you roll plus chaos. It would be against
entropy. Oh, nice. Okay. That's a 10, okay. My friend.
Well goaded.
Suck it, Rudy.
On a hit, they make a move against you. On a 10 plus, choose two options. They react irrationally, they commit significant resources, they overlook your allies, or they overplay their hand.
Ooh, they overplay their hand, and they commit significant resources.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, fine. They overplay their hand, and they overlook your allies.
Rudy was about to nuke somewhere.
Claire, as you do this, you start to feel sick, a nausea rolling over you in waves. And when the task is done, you start heaving, and you are heaving up this ichor. And as it hits the ground, it vaporizes, again, like something hitting a hot surface. And swirling around you is this charcoal smoke. And as it swirls, you hear your name repeated. Claire. 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 Louder and louder until it's all that you can hear. Until it stops. And you open your eyes to see a cloud of black and charcoal smoke swirling around you. And the last thing you hear before it takes off towards town is Rudy's voice saying, "I can't believe you chose this."
First real choice I ever made.
And with those words, you slip into darkness.
Don't worry, I'll be back.
And somewhere in a tree, a tiny voice goes, "Oh my God."
Oh, Duncan.
And a wee Duncan runs as fast as his little legs can carry.